Velveteers in a song called Motel 27, 10:36 the time, 24 minutes before 11 o'clock on the morning, on the midday show. And I got to tell you, of all the artists that we have rolling through here that come in here to play live music, I don't know that I have a better time with anyone other than the gentleman you're about to meet here, Zach Churchill, friend of mine, friend of the program, and certainly friend of the radio station, a family member of the radio station. Debut Bartender was released back in October. It's the lead single off an upcoming 11-song album that's going to be released in January. That album title is Heartbreak and Hope. We got a lot of stuff to cover and talk about with Zach. But right now, let's go live to Zach Churchill, and this song is called Bartender.
Bartender, please don't ignore the light that shines from under the door. It's wasting electricity and draining the life out of me. Bartender, please don't forget to burn the ice and last cigarettes. Well, I know it's late, but you can't leave yet. It's time to throw out the last guest. Have I been here before? I'm lying down on the floor, dying. Bartender, please understand, if I could move, I'd give you a hand. Bartender, please don't give up. Well, I wish I could just wake myself up. Thank you.
You know, sometimes when you're really close with someone, you forget how incredibly talented they are and what an amazing song that is. I can't wait to dig deep into it and get into exactly what went into the writing of that song. How's it going this morning, man? You doing all right?
Good to be here, Ed.
It's great to have you, man. Thank you for that first selection. A new album coming out in January. We'll talk all about that. Give you a chance to spot another single here. What are we going to hear next?
So this song, actually, why don't we break? I'm going to play a cover right now.
Sure.
This is a 1975 song.
Oh, cool.
Called Be My Mistake off of, I think it's off of A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships.
You know your stuff, man.
Which I can, you know, man, this guy talks about. He talks about me, you know,
right.
Chasing that fantasy, that ideal.
right on. All right. Once again, for our audience, Zach Churchill with the album coming out in January, Heartbreak and Hope. This song called Be My Mistake.
And be my mistake. And turn out the light. She bought me those jeans, the ones you like. Don't want a hug, I just want to sleep. Your hair reminds me of her feet. So don't wait outside my hotel room. Just wait till I give you a sign. 'Cause I get lonesome sometimes. Save all the jokes you're gonna make while I see how much drink I can take. Then be my mistake. I shouldn't have called. We shouldn't speak. You do make me hard, but she makes me weak. So don't wait outside my hotel room. Just wait till I give you a sign. I get lonesome sometimes. And save all the jokes you're gonna make while I see how much drink I can take.
Dude, that was so good. That was so real. That was real good. The 1975 song, Be My Mistake. We are in studio with a friend of the program, personal friend and family member to the radio station, Zach Churchill. Album to be released in January called Heartbreak and Hope. We'll tell you exactly how you can pick that album up here in just a moment. We asked you, please, to play us a third live song. I don't get to see you often enough here in the studio. But you said cool to a third live song. What are we going to hear?
All right. So, yeah, thank you, Ed. This one is it's a newer song. It's not going to be on Heartbreak and Hope on the album coming out in January, but it's something I'm working on in studio right now with a good friend, Tom Rasulo. up in Sherman Oaks. And this one's called Reach You. So that'll be, you know, on a follow-up. It's the newer stuff. It'll be on a follow-up to the album that I'm working on releasing.
Right. Leading up to your coming in this morning, I was talking about how incredibly hardworking you are. And so, yeah, not only an album release in January, but you're currently working on that follow-up, man. So, yeah, nice.
You know, yeah, that, you know, I'm 31 years old. So I have my only goal right now is to just keep creating and put out music. And that's really, yeah, I don't know. We'll get into all this, but life is pretty simple. Just get to make music and be a dad. It's pretty awesome.
I'm digging this. I'm digging the 31-year-old Zach. We'll talk about 25-year-old Zach here in a few minutes, but
I'm
digging.
Heartbreak and Hope is all about 25-year-old Zach. It's all about the 20s.
This song is called Reach You.
Yep.
All right, let's hear it. This is Zach Churchill in a song called Reach You.
There's no one in my bed. It's no fun in my head. She's so far now. Guess I'll have to pretend. I hang words on my wall. Lift me up when I fall. But it's so cold now. I just can't feel it at all. I need a plane off a train off a submarine. A one-way ticket in a pair of wings. You know that I would give up everything to meet you. I couldn't reach you.
see what you've done. You've not only made us want the album coming out in January, Heartbreak and Hope, but you made us want the follow-up album now with that song, Reach You, from Zach Churchill. We're going to bring Zach in and have a conversation with him. What a great live set. Let's take a couple of minutes, and next, when we come back on the other side, we'll be talking to Zach. 10:52 the time, 8 before 11. Just about 4 minutes shy of the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome to the program. It's the Midday Show. And what a great live performance we just got from Zach Churchill with his new album coming out, Heartbreak and Hope. And we have the good fortune to have my buddy here sitting 5 feet away from me for the first time in several months, actually. Welcome, Zach. How you doing this morning, man?
Hey, Ed. It's so good to see you, man.
It is.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in, man. It's us who are thanking you this morning. What a great live set, first of all, by the way.
Thank you.
You sound amazing these days. And I'm not just saying that to blow smoke in your face. You do sound amazing.
I appreciate that.
Right on.
You look amazing.
Well, thank
you. Everyone can see.
Yeah, thank you. I prefer to turn this on you, man. Because you mentioned you're 31 just a few minutes ago. You said, but you look exactly the same as when we first ran across each other, dude. You
really?
Physically. Well, you've bulked up a little bit. I noticed the biceps are a little bigger right now. Nice tattoo, by the way. Nice brand new
tattoo.
Thank
you. Thank you. If everyone wants to see that, I'm going to post a picture of it today.
Right on. I never showed you this one. I have the word tattooed on me.
Do you really?
So that when someone says, yeah, do you have a tattoo? I show, yeah.
Do you really?
I do. I really have the word tattooed on
That's
this bicep
awesome.
Right here. Yeah. But not as cool as yours, man. Yours is this amazing thing of birds. It's like a flock of birds there on his arm. tell the first song, and I've been keeping myself from telling this story, because the story that you tell about the first song that you performed is really deep, man. And it's you. This is Zach Churchill in a moment, and then this moment becomes this song. Tell us about the song Bartender and the situation behind that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think Bartender, man, it's been 7.5 years now since I wrote that song right down the street at Mission Hospital Laguna Beach. I was on the fourth floor treatment center there. I had just come off of a stay at Mission Hospital in the ICU for a drug overdose.
Okay.
And so, you know, when I decided to put this stuff out, I decided I'm just going to be super transparent about everything, because it's me, it's my story. And if anybody else, you know, has been there, then I think if they can relate, then, you know, I want to be honest. I want to be able to show that, you know, that it is possible to come back from that,
right,
and use that to as a kind of launching pad for growth,
right,
because that was the lowest point in my life. You know, I was an addict. I am an addict, and I was involved in you know, chasing a solution that is based on, you know, numbing myself out. And getting away from my problems that way. That's what I did for 10 years. And then, you know, there was that night I overdosed at a bar, and there was a bartender there who found me when he was closing down the restaurant at 2 a.m. So, you know, he went up to the bathroom door because the light was still on and it was locked. He got the key. And if he didn't come in and call the paramedics, if he'd just gone home, I'd be dead. Right. But he saved my life that night. So, as I said, spent a week in ICU, then transferred to rehab, and I spent a month there. But on my first day in rehab is when I found a guitar, and this song just poured out of me to that bartender.
Right.
So that's the story behind it.
What an incredibly thin line between life and death, and between a lifetime of being an addict, and yes, you still consider yourself an addict, but a lifetime of pursuing that addiction and stopping to where you are now, man. What a thin line that is.
It really is. I'm all I can say is I'm grateful, because I don't know. It's an interesting thing when you are involved in that. You know, it takes a lot. Right. To wake up from that. And it takes something different for everyone. Right. So they talk about hitting a bottom. They talk about, you know, waking up, having a moment of clarity, a spiritual awakening.
Right.
And for me, that moment of clarity happened in the hospital bed,
right,
because I could no longer run from myself and the fact that, you know, hey, like if I keep doing this thing, I will die.
And when I was finally faced with that truth, I decided I didn't want to die. But there, it's just crazy because there are tons of people that wake up in the same situation and then they leave and they just do it again. And so I don't know why that was my moment of saying, you know what, I'm willing to do what it takes to be done with this. And it's just a different thing for everybody, you know.
Right.
But I'm just, all I can say is I'm grateful. It wasn't, you know, if I had it my way, I would have kept doing it. But I know I couldn't get away with it anymore.
Right. Well, along with the audience, we here at the radio station and myself in particular are really glad you made that turn, man. We did nothing makes me feel happier than you having made that turn. And now, look at your life. You have a beautiful son. And I asked you earlier, how's Leland doing?
Leland is doing incredibly well. He's 4.5 years old. Mm-hmm. He started preschool last week.
Nice.
He's musical. He's funny. He's smart. He's my best bud. Yeah, it's the greatest gift.
Can't believe he's 4.5 already, dude. I swear, I can't believe that. That time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, I remember bringing him in here as a little baby,
right,
newborn.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Carrying him on the chest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was totally cool. Well, so fatherhood versus rock star. And I don't want to say rock star. I'm sorry. Fatherhood versus musician. And the responsibilities of each. They carry very separate and different responsibilities. You have to be a success at both. How do you manage that?
I think I'm really fortunate because I have a lot of help. You know, I have me and his mom are both artists.
Right.
So we both have this lifestyle of self-employed artist, gigging,
right,
you know, having to take work, you know, at times that other people don't, and traveling sometimes. And I think why I'm really fortunate is because we have family nearby.
Right.
So my parents play a pretty big role in helping out with that. But I've also kind of carved out my schedule in a way where I get the first half of the week, like I just don't, you know, the nature of being a musician and performing is like, you know, mostly evenings,
right,
weekends, Thursday, you know, so I get to hang out with my son, like Monday through Wednesday. Typically it's like, that's kind of all it is. And then, you know, the thing is like, because those are my only two real responsibilities and focuses in life right now, really just fatherhood, making music, and then I would say the other one would be recovery.
Right.
So it's family, recovery, career, and because those are my only focuses, I think it all balances out pretty well.
Right.
I'm not doing anything else really. <You know?
laughs> We'll catch you playing tennis this afternoon, will we?
No.
All right, so you mentioned that he's musical. And I imagine with you around the house, who wouldn't pick up a guitar? Do you see him in the future maybe wanting to be a musician? Are you hoping that he wants to be a musician?
Oh, you know, that's a great question. I don't know, because he's super naturally talented with his ear and his voice, and he's totally on pitch. Like he can just, he's got a great musical memory. But just because he has all that natural talent, I don't know if that's going to be his passion.
Right.
Because he, right now, he's just, all he cares about is playing, you know, and cars and,
right,
you know, just, that's not like his focus, but he certainly loves music. He certainly asks for certain songs. He sings. So we'll see.
All right.
It is to, yeah.
Right.
We'll see.
All right. We'll keep tabs on this.
I'm not going to push him into anything.
Be one of those stage dads.
Right, right.
So let's talk about the album, Heartbreak and Hope, coming out in January.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the songs you've put together for it. 11 songs on it. Tell me about the putting together of this album.
Yeah, this album is basically, you know, it's really kind of like my 20s, the journey of my 20s, because my 20s were such a emotionally fraught period, lots of heartbreak, lots of hope. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, I called the album Heartbreak and Hope, and there may be more heartbreak than hope. I don't know. Well, I have to, it remains to be seen, but it really is just kind of a story of, it's all true. It's all honest. It is me. And I'm very, very happy about that because, you know, I wanted to just be honest. And I think, you know, the person I got to record that album with, Julian Coriel, he knows me so well on a personal level. And then he's just an insanely talented musician and producer. So, he was really able to help me take what was inside and put on the outside and just get it out there and do it in a really, truthful way. I'm so grateful for that.
Is there a bigger sense of vulnerability? Let's say you sing some of the songs that are on the album in public or during one of your gigs or whatever. Is that as big a sense of vulnerability as actually putting it out somewhere where it's permanently, you know, fixed, like on an album?
No. Right. I think, well, it can be, but right. I think, you know, the permanency of putting it out into the world is, you know, I'm excited about it, but of course it makes me feel vulnerable,
right.
But I want to be vulnerable. I want to share myself,
right.
You know?
Just like you were in here, I think you're at your best when you show your vulnerability. I think that, and as most artists should be, at their best, at their most vulnerable.
Thank you.
So the last song you did was a song called Reach You, which isn't going to be on this album. It'll be on the follow-up album.
Mm-hmm.
What's the process like? Let's say, how do you hold it back? And it's such a great song. How do you not put it on this album? How do you find that patience to wait and put it on the next album?
Well, actually, it's just the way that it just has all to do with timing, because that song is relatively new, okay. And I'm working on it with a different person.
Okay.
So Heartbreak and Hope was recorded over probably a 2-year period.
Okay.
In Venice, California, okay. With Julian Coriel.
Right.
And so that ended, you know, that actually we finished the 11th song on right as COVID was starting, when the pandemic was starting. So that kind of closed a chapter on that collection of songs,
right.
On that album. So, and then I just sat on it for a year. And so now I'm putting it out there. So Heartbreak and Hope was done. It's sealed. It's ready to be delivered. Now I'm delivering it.
Right.
And then I'm working on follow-up projects. So I have to do my due diligence but there is an eagerness to share these things. Like I'm in the studio recording Reach You and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to put this out.
Right.
But yes, there's a patience involved in letting things run their natural course. This is going to be a future release, but
right.
I'm excited about that stuff. Cause I'm currently in the process of it's in the creative process. It's still in its early stages, you know?
Right. Talk to us about trusting your producer and the trust that you have to have as a musician, as an artist who knows what you want to hear with the song. And if a producer comes in, for instance, and wants to change something,
mm-hmm.
You tell me about the trust that you have to make that change.
I think that it's extremely important that you work with a producer that you do trust. And, you know, I'm so lucky to not only trust Julian Coriel to help me tell the story and to really serve the song with his production, but to help me be the best version of myself. And then Tom, my buddy Tom, we actually, he's known me since high school. We have this great history too. So I'm working with people that I actually have deep connections and history with, and they know me really well, and I do trust them. And so it's great because there is that before we even met, there's already a connection and trust established. Because yes, it would be completely nerve-wracking and uncomfortable to work with somebody that I couldn't feel like I could be open and honest with. I think that's the thing, communication and honesty and openness. If you know, I have to trust them to take the song in a direction that they hear.
Right.
And then I have to trust myself to say, oh, you know what? I love that, but let's hear it this way too. And they've been both been really gracious about that and exploring. I let them explore their natural, you know, where they want to go naturally. And then if it doesn't vibe with what I feel like artistically I want to say, then I have to say something. But generally, there's another thing where I just surrender a little bit to them and to the process.
Right.
I bring them my song and I say, let's do this. Like, I am entrusting you as a producer.
Right.
So if it clashes with me in a big way internally, then I would say something. But generally, I'm going to them because I already love their work and what they do.
Right. And that must take an incredible amount of discipline. That must take an incredible amount of discipline.
I've worked with people in the past that have just, you know, it didn't work out. Right. So that's why I feel like I'm, you know, I'm so late to the game, but I'm finally working with people that I, you know, I think before though, in my 20s, I wasn't ready.
Right.
And I worked with people that, because I wasn't ready, you know, I didn't have results. But as soon as I was ready, you know, the right people show up.
Right. I've always said the second to last guy at a party always makes the best entrance. That's
there
just
you go.
The way it is, man.
Yeah.
So you're cutting a music video for Bartender. And I'm curious that as dramatic and elaborate a story as it is, tell me about the making of the video. Are you like, this is fully you saying, no, this is, you know, I got to be in a bathroom stall down. How's the video going?
So the video is done. It's going to be released in a couple weeks here. It'll be released this month. And what it is I think you may know them, Greta and Robin, Greta Valenti and Robin Davey of Well Hung Heart.
Yes.
They're friends of the station. They performed for us. And that's actually how I met them, you know, many years ago. And so they have a production company called Grow Vision. And so they actually filmed and edited and produced the video. And it's cool because it's a music video. It's like a performance music video.
Right.
But then there's also a little mini documentary, like, you know, interview about behind the song. So they came to my house, they interviewed me. So it's kind of like a two-part thing where there's just a kind of a straight music video, official music video, which is really performance-based in a bar.
Right.
And it also has some images and photos throughout my life in it. But yeah. And then the other one is talking about Bartender and the story behind it. So I think they'll be released together.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. And I, again, knowing the story, I really can't wait to see it. So on December 1st, you're dropping another single.
That's right.
It's called Would You Believe Me? Tell me about this.
Yeah. This was the last song I recorded on Heartbreak and Hope. It's, you know, it's near and dear to my heart. It was, it's about like this fantasy relationship that I had in a fantasy, an online thing. And I wanted it to be real and it was not real and it didn't turn out to, it never came to, I couldn't turn the fantasy into a reality. But when I wrote and produced and recorded the song, I still very much wanted it to be. So that, it has this this sweet innocence and but also a little bit of delusion in it.
Okay.
I don't know how else to describe it.
No, that's actually
it's perfect for Christmas.
A delusional Christmas song.
Yeah.
So gigs, now that we're starting to come out of the mess that was 2020 and you weren't able to gig anywhere, are you gigging more now? Are you finding yourself on the road? What are you doing?
Yeah, right now I'm really focusing on recording. I hope to do a tour for all this material, you know, maybe in the summer.
Right.
But right now, locally, you know, I'm at the ranch at Laguna Beach every Friday from 4 to 8 p.m.
Great spot.
So that's really just the best way to come see me live. And it's my home gig, and I love them.
Right.
And I've been there for a long time, and I got connected with them through the station too. So,
right. And I will tell you this. And again, not just cause you're my friend and you're sitting here 5 feet away from me, you fill up that area, that outdoor area, wherever you fill it up with just that magnificent voice and beautiful guitar, man. It is an experience. It is an experience to see you out there. So
thank you.
Yeah. So the coming few months, and you're working on the follow-up album. Mm-hmm. Also 11, 12 songs. Do you know what's going to be included on the album? Do you already know?
I don't. We're just going for it, you know. It'll reveal itself. Right now, Tom and I got like 4 songs in the bag, but we have so many songs to that are on the, you know, the potentials list to. So we just finished up Reach You yesterday. I was in the studio with him, and then next week we're gonna start a new song. So yeah, we're just, you know, because I have some time to release Heartbreak and Hope and share that with the world. And so there's no rush on the album that I'm currently working on.
Right.
But, you know, I think it'll probably be another 10 to 12. That's what I would imagine, but I'm not sure. And then I'm also getting back in the studio with Julian too. So he lives in Chicago right now, and he's coming into LA in December for a week. So we're going to do a song, and you know, I'm really grateful to be able to continue to work with these people and just keep creating.
Right. And I'm sure that they feel the good fortune of working with you as well, as we all do, as we all do. And I, again, can't wait to see you again live. So the takeover is coming up next week, and I don't want to pressure you or anything, but your hours of takeover are so musically educated, so well educated musically. You choose artists that are amazing. Your songs, the songs you love from other artists are amazing, and stuff that we don't really get to hear anywhere else on any other radio station. Who are you right now listening to? Who's in the car?
The 1975. I just went on a trip to Spain in September.
Okay.
And I walked to the Camino de Santiago for 3 weeks, and I was listening to two 1975 albums over and over, Notes on a Conditional Form and A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships. So I get into something and I just listen to it over and over for a while. So they are also Half Moon Run. Ooh, really great.
Good band.
Really great band.
Yeah, look at you.
I'm always listening to some, you know, John Prine, David Bowie.
Right. We almost got some John Prine from you this morning. Almost.
I was going to play Clay Pigeons.
We almost pulled that out, man. Almost. By the way, and you spoke of Spain. We have a ton of listeners in Barcelona for some reason.
Do you?
No kidding, man.
Well, I met the best people of my life out there. if he's listening, one of my friends, Javi, lives in Barcelona.
Right on. Did you eat well while you were there? I know you had to eat well. And you ate late because they eat really late.
That's
there.
True. That's true. I ate a lot of octopus. I ate some really great food. It was the best.
All right. The album is Heartbreak and Hope. The debut single was Bartender, and the single that's coming out on the 1st is called Would You Believe Me? Where can our listeners go to purchase your music, your swag, whatever that would benefit you the most?
Thanks. Yeah, I think, you know, you can follow me at Zach Churchill Music on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's kind of where I'm most active. So at Zach Churchill Music for Instagram, Zach. And then I'm on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon Music, all that stuff, all that digital stuff. So, you know, if you can go over to Spotify and like my song, and, you know, there's one out right now, but like Ed said, there'll be another one in December, and then the full 11 song album in January.
We're all over it. We're all over it. Always a pleasure, man. I first of all, you look great. You look fantastic. You sound amazing. And I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with you. Zach, thanks for coming in today, man.
My pleasure. Thank you, Ed. It's so good to see you.
Great to see you as well. And we'll see you again in a couple of weeks, hopefully, for Takeover.
That's right. Thank you.
All right, man.